Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm getting lost in the breeze, and I was aiming for the stars. Messed up and shattered my head on Mars. Follow your heart, it has to wake up to who you know you are.
Welcome to another edition of the IDP Trade Show. I am your guest host, Steve Falco from the Front Office Pros. I'm here with Adam, who's a mainstay with the IDP show. Adam, we're going to be going through some trades. We got some good ones here. Let's start it off. Let's just get this ball rolling here. We've got Coach Schneider here. Coach has got a 16-team league. It is a super flex contract IDP league. It's based off of the NFL salary cap. He says he's in the playoff race, but he needs reinforcements if he wants to have a chance. So he is intending on sending Dallas Goedert. He's got a three-year deal, $13.1 million. And then Nick Bosa for 4 years, $17.1 million. He does say that he has Aiden Hutchinson and Jalen Phillips, so he's not in a bad shape when it comes to his defensive ends. And then he will also be adding a 2024 first, which he expects to be in the 10 to 12 range, and a 2024 third. In return, he's going to receive Jalen Waddle on a two-year, $20 million contract with an extension, which would be a 15% increase. Trey McBride, 3 years, $6.5 million. And then Jalen Carter, 4 years, $1.7 million. So overall, you're talking about Dallas Goedert, Nick Bosa, a 2024 first, a 2024 third for Jalen Waddle, Trey McBride, and Jalen Carter. You say?
This is a fun trade right here. Shout out Coach Schneider. Always good to hear from you, bro. I like the Waddle side. Especially with the depth he has, you know, having Aiden Hutchinson and Jalen Phillips, I mean, that's a great duo. I don't really care too much about losing Bosa. Goddard also, like, I've kind of been down on him lately. I mean, he's obviously hurt right now, but he wasn't that good to begin with this year. You know, there's just a lot of mouths to feed there in Philly. So he was someone that I was kind of like not too high on anyway. You're getting to replace him with Trey McBride, a guy who is on absolute fire right now. He's got like 250 receiving yards in his last three games, averaging 17.6 points per game in PPR leagues over that stretch. So, I mean, dude's really good. Kyler Murray seems to like him. I think he targeted him 9 times this past week. People in the building I was listening to Establish the Run, Evan Silva was talking about how people in the Cardinals building love Trey McBride. They think that he's like a George Kittle, Travis Kelce type. So Will's up for Trey McBride. Love getting him here. And then, yeah, Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter is my he's my DT1 in Dynasty, and he's my number 18 overall IDP asset. So I love Jalen Carter, especially if you start defensive tackles in this league, which I think you do. I don't know if I mentioned Jalen Waddle, that he was wide receiver 9 on keep trade cut. So, I mean, his value is still hanging in there, even though he's kind of had a bit of a down year. So that's good to see. Are you familiar with keep trade cut,
Steve? Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely familiar with it. And quick clarifying question for maybe the listeners and the viewers here, and maybe myself as well. When he says Nick Bosa for $17.1 million, we're talking about per year or total for 4 years, $17.1
million? I'm guessing he's talking total contract.
Because if it's total, I mean, that's for an NFL salary cap, that is an unbelievable contract.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's, that's 17 divided by 4. That's like 4.2 million per year for Nick Bosa.
Yeah, it's a really good deal. But even if it's 17 million per year, I mean, that's still a pretty good deal for Nick Bosa when your salary cap is what, like 220 some million, whatever it is in the NFL. That still feels pretty fair. But yeah, I mean, I'm fine shipping him off. I mean, also with that first being in the 110 to 112 range, you know, who cares? That's those late firsts aren't that valuable to me. It is a super flex. It is super flex league. So, I mean, that'll help. But still, you know, I feel good getting Waddle, getting Trey McBride, and getting Jalen Carter. All those guys also are on very reasonable deals. So, yeah, I like the trade, though.
I'm a little confused by the trade. I want to be a little bit contrarian to you on this one. Coach Snyder is telling us that he needs reinforcements to have a chance to win. But it's like these players are good now, but I view all those players as good, even better in the future. Like, to me, the player that's the most win now player amongst all these players is Nick Bosa. And I know he's got Jalen Phillips, who's good from a dynasty standpoint, but as far as the season goes, he's been banged up for most of the year. I don't really know. If you talk about having Bosa and Hutchinson, the amount of points that you're getting on a regular basis from those two, that those are game changers. Waddle's been good, not great. McBride's been decent in this recent stretch. Carter, I agree with you, DT1 dynasty value. But at the same time, is he really going to have the impact that he – I just question the targets here. If you're trying to win now and trying to push yourself to the playoff race, this seems like a maybe I get a little bit better and I get really better in the future. But do you really think this puts him over the top by getting these three players?
I think it definitely helps him right now, and I like it for the future. Because, I mean, I think you're going to like having Jalen Waddle. Trey McBride clearly looks like a top five tight end rest of the way. So, I mean, I think he could be really valuable. Especially, you know, we lost Mark Andrews tonight, you know, so, I mean, there's another stud tight end gone. And then Jalen Carter, I mean, if they do start defensive tackles, yeah, I mean, I think he's a top 12 option for you pretty much any week. So, I mean, on the other side, Nick Bosa is the only piece that's helping you this year. Dallas Goedert's hurt right now. When he comes back, who knows what he'll be. So yeah, I mean, I you know, you're, the Jalen Phillips slander isn't going to stand with me.
Oh boy. you think he's reliable this year?
I mean, he's coming on now. I think he's got the health under control. I mean, that's always an issue with him, always a concern with him. But yeah, he's been pretty good lately. I mean, he seems to be back on track, and I mean, he's been putting up some decent performances. Nothing that's been Nick Bosa level, but I think we could see Jalen Phillips have a 3-sack game this season.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, he's been, yeah, I mean, he had two good, well, I guess he's had a sack in the past three games, so I guess you're not wrong. I guess he has, the past 3 weeks have been a good stretch for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in good shape at edge, or defensive end, whatever they do over in that league.
So you say, okay, so we're saying that you're going to accept this trade. I think I might target other players, but it's not a horrible deal. I just wonder if there'd be a better player as a target for what you're trying to do, coach.
I don't know. It's tough, man. I mean, Nick, it's hard trading those elite IDP assets for the equivalent on offense. You know, I feel like Jalen Waddle is about the max you're going to get for an elite IDP asset.
I know. I just feel like Waddle has been somewhat disappointing this year, though. That's my only thing. I mean, I guess he's consistent, though, I guess, looking at his numbers. All right. So let's move on to the next one here, unless you have any other comments.
No, I don't think so.
All right. So Donald is in an auction salary cap dynasty league, starting DL linebacker and DB. He's thinking of moving Montez Sweat, as the price that he paid for him in the free agent auction this past year would be a bit rich to resign going forward. Probably just going to look for a rookie pick back. Thoughts on a fair offer? And he says he should clarify his price isn't awful and he could be re-signed by others, but I'm going to be a bit cap-strapped, so he could have a re-sign value for someone else. I'm also worried a bit about the Bears of it all for Montez, which makes me a bit more willing to move him, especially if I'm not going to re-sign.
Yeah, if your league mates know that you're not going to re-sign him, you really don't have a lot of leverage here. So, I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to get like a second or anything like that. And even a third could be difficult. I mean, if they know your situation, they know you're just going to lose this guy. I mean, they know that you would at least want to get something rather than nothing, right? So, I mean, there's a chance you have to settle for like a fourth round pick, which I don't know. I mean, if you got to do, you got to do. I mean, I think you want to try for a third. That might happen, but it probably won't. I think your league mates are probably smart enough where they're going to realize your situation, and they're going to probably lowball you. And I feel like a fourth round pick is probably all you can get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, if you know that Montez Sweat, you're not going to re-sign him, then at this point, you're going to lose him for nothing. So you might as well trade him for something. And I do understand your concerns. I think I share some of the similar concerns, because it's not like he has a lot of talent around him. I think a third is probably the max you're going to get. I agree with you, Adam. Probably a fourth is more likely. I almost would be kind of, and maybe you think this would be too rich. I would be curious to see if you target an owner who has maybe like a Lucas Van Ness or somebody like that, or maybe a Tyree Wilson. I'm not a Tyree Wilson fan, but somebody like that who, you know, they or no, even Nolan Smith, right? Guys who just have not, they're rookies, they haven't shown up yet. You know, they're kind of almost being redshirted in a way. I think they would maybe blossom next year. But Montez Sweat's good. So, I mean, he's been good. I don't know how good it'll be with the Bears. So that could be an aspect where if someone thinks he has potential, what do you think? You think that's a possible play? Or you think because of the rookie contract, there's no way they would consider that?
No, I think that's very fair. I mean, Van Ness hasn't really shown us much this year. He hasn't really had an opportunity. I mean, that's a deep rotation and a good rotation. It's probably going to be a few years out before you really see Lucas Van Ness give you much return on your investment. Those are the type of moves I think you should be making, though. Yeah. Flipping those expiring veterans for someone that's on, you know, a longer term deal that hasn't really broken out yet. That's a nice play.
Because I mean, more likely than not, that Lucas Van Ness was probably picked in the second round, probably, of your draft. So you're getting kind of an equivalent of a second round value. He's depreciated because he hasn't done as well. So it might be a good idea to just flip Sweat, see if he can try to get a developmental edge. Hopefully, you strike gold.
Would you rather have Van Ness over a third, or would you rather have that third?
I mean, I think I'd rather have Van Ness. I mean, I'd rather. I mean, I think it's too early. I mean, a lot of times with IDP, as you know, lot of times, you know, it takes players at least a year, if not 2 years, to finally turn into something. So I'm not scared off at all by his lack of production in year one. So I think I'd rather go with that potential. I mean, who are you hoping to get in round three? I mean, do you think a guy like, you're not going to be able to get him for this, but would you think like a guy like Boye Mafe, was he probably like a third round pick when he went in that draft?
Dude, he was probably like a fifth round pick.
You think so? You're the high second round pick.
Yeah, but I mean, think about this past draft. Like that was the same story for like Derek Hall and like BJ Ojulari, like, and all those guys were going like in the fifth round, sixth round. So I mean, this class was a deep edge class, you know. And there was a bunch of like interesting linebackers, and there was a few interesting safeties. So yeah, that pushed a lot of those, like, and I imagine it was the same way in that class with Boye Mafe. It just pushed a lot of those guys down the board, you know. So you could get those guys like on waivers after your draft. I picked up Mafe in a ton of leagues like that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Third round picks are valuable. I mean, there was a lot, like in the IDP leagues that I play in, you know, there was a lot of Tank Dell being drafted in the third round.
That's true.
A lot of Sam Laporta being drafted in the third round. I do like Lucas Van Ness, but you know, I'd probably be okay re-rolling too and just getting another third and just trying it out on the next guy too. Or just having it as another chip to, you know, trade up into the draft. I just love acquiring picks when I can. And I'm hoping I didn't spend like a second on Lucas Van Ness. I got Lucas Van Ness in the fourth round and in quite a few spots.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I did see him go in the third in some leagues. I did see him go in the second in one league. And that guy was someone that's a notorious bad drafter. But
I'm kind of now curious. I think in my dynasty league, I want to say that he was drafted in the second round in my league.
Well, as long as it wasn't you, bro.
He was picked high. He was the 19th pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like Van Ness. I mean, I'm a believer as well. I think he's going to have a real opportunity there once Preston Smith kind of moves on. But I don't know when that's going to be. I mean, Preston Smith has been pretty good the last couple of years. So I don't know.
I want to say Preston Smith is a free agent next year.
I'm not sure. Maybe he is.
I was looking positive.
I was actually looking through some of those who was going to be a free agent. I was looking through that earlier. I was on SpoTrack. I don't remember seeing him.
No, he's not. No, he actually has a lot of years remaining. He has an additional 3 years, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, I mean, you never know though. Sometimes they have outs of these contracts.
They could cut him and they would have some dead cap to pay, but
it really depends. Yeah. So, either way, I do think his opportunity is coming and, I'm excited for him. He was a freak athlete. He was like I'm pretty sure like a 9.7 RAS score. So, I mean, I'm excited for when he does get his chance, but also happy re-rolling too and getting those picks, as we all know.
So going on to our next trade, we've got John S. John is in a 32 team league. One copy, start 11 IDP using NFL formation. So this is a legit league here. He will be trading Leonard Floyd for a third round pick. Yay or nay on that one, Adam?
Oh, man. So, I mean, a third round pick in a 32 team league. I mean, that is, is that? That's like basically like it's like a ninth round rookie pick pretty much, right? That we like in our worlds for the most part. I'm not in a lot of the biggest league I'm in is like a 16 teamer.
That's so, what I'm into.
I would like to get one of these 32 team leagues though. I think it would be kind of fun. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he's not competing. Is that third really worth anything though, man? I mean, you're talking
so for context in my league. So, cause we have 16 team. So this is considered a sixth round pick. So I'll name off a few that would be in this section, right? See what you think about it. Okay. We've got Cameron Latu, tight end, cornerback Cam Smith, linebacker Henry Toto.
Okay. There we go. That's a hit, I guess.
Kobe Turner, Yaya Diaby. Defensive tackle, Byron Young. safety Jamie Robinson. So edge rusher Nick Herbig a little bit later down the line. Running back Sean Tucker. Running back Zach Evans. That's what we're looking at there, from at least from my where I drafted.
Yeah, a couple interesting picks, but yeah, it seems like a total dart throw for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I would try to. Can you not try to get a little more than that? I would try to maybe get a little more than that. I mean, I don't know though. You're probably not getting a second. I don't know how this league really operates. Leonard Floyd is getting up there in years. He has like. I was looking today. I think he's like 30 or 31, but the guy has been productive. And I mean, he's been productive, productive at, you know, a lot of different places now. And so I think he's going to continue to get shots for the next couple of years. He'll be like a mercenary type, you know, he'll be signing these like 1 year deals. Maybe he'll get a 2 year deal out of this, this year in Buffalo. But for the most part, you know, it's going to be like a 1 to 2 year deal, I think, for the rest of his career. But I don't know, man. I kind of like Leonard Floyd. He's been a nice little piece for me to have in a lot of these sleeper leagues. But where do you stand? Do you have an opinion?
I just don't know what more you could get for him out of a third round pick. To be honest with you, I mean, he's been okay in Buffalo. He hasn't been great by any means. So I mean, is he even a DN2 right now? I mean, he's like probably borderline DN3, DN2. So it's like, could you, and he's older too. So, I mean, what more could you expect? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's fair value. If you want to just collect the pick and just have it, you have more picks. Maybe you, who knows? Maybe if you're doing this trade, right? I'm reading into this a little bit. But, John, if you're doing this trade, you're probably selling off veteran parts to get other picks in hopes that maybe you can use those picks and trade them up and move them up maybe higher in the second round. So if that's the case, then, you know, I think it probably makes sense for you to make this move.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good call there.
So our next trade is from our very own Josh Reimer. It's an RSL league, 45-man roster. You start a quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, one tight end, four offensive flex, and on defense, they start one defensive tackle, two DNs, three linebackers, two corners, two safeties, and one IDP flex. Whew, that's a mouthful. The trade is tight end Dalton Schultz, a 2024 second. It's expected to be in the 2.07 to 2.12 range for Sydney Brown and Josh Downs. Dalton Schultz has a one-year contract, $4 million, expires in 2023, so after this season. Sydney Brown's on a rookie contract, making $1 million per year. He'll expire in 2026. Josh Downs, rookie contract, expires 2026 and makes around $2 million per year. So thoughts on this one?
This is a slam dunk for the Josh Downs, Sydney Brown side. Dalton Schultz, I mean, the fact that he's expiring, I mean, you're going to lose him. All you're going to have is the second round pick, you know? And I mean, Josh Downs is definitely worth that. And also, even more context, Josh has Anthony Richardson. So, I mean, he's going to now have the Josh Downs A-Ridge connection. So, that's very nice. But also, Sydney Brown, a guy that we like in IDP. I mean, he's playing slot right now. So, we're getting to see him year one. He's been playing pretty good. So, I mean, I like that side a lot. Yeah, I think this was between Josh and John Macri. So, Macri definitely needed a tight end. He's in win now. I think he's got a boatload of picks as well. But, Josh took advantage of a contender that was needing to fill some holes. And I think that's the way you do it. Josh is not competing this year. He's definitely looking to rebuild in there, and is rebuilding. So, yeah, this is the way to do it. You find the contender who is Macri's done a good job. He's loaded full assets. I mean, it's not really too much for him to lose a Josh Downs right now, you know, especially with the goals that he has in mind, which is winning a Super Bowl in there, and it's a it's a big money league. It's a, there's a big, big, get big pot up for grabs. So, I mean, you're going to see a lot of people making these types of moves. So I like it for both sides. I mean, Dalton Schultz, I was looking, he is on keep trade cut. He is tied in 14. He's 27.4 years of age right now. So I don't know. I like that he's tied there with CJ Stroud, but I mean, he's expiring in this league. So unless you re-sign him and get him for a good deal, you're really just getting a second round pick.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm going to go on the other side, actually. I like the Schultz in the second round pick side. I think it's going to work out for both teams for the purposes that they have. But to me, you know, having Dalton Schultz, if they're a contender, I mean, he's been getting targeted a ton with CJ Stroud. I think that's a great, he's going to have a great impact. And I like the second round pick. See, I'm a little nervous about Sidney Brown. I mean, they traded for Kevin Byard. He's got the one safety rule on lock. Reed Blankenship has basically got the other one on lock, and he's got 2 years remaining on his contract. So when is Sidney Brown really going to, you know, crack open and have his – I mean, you'd want him to basically take over, I mean, Reed Blankenship, right? I mean, that would be the hope. I mean, you saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He leaves. Reed Blankenship steps in. And now Reed Blankenship has been – unbelievable. So are you really going to see the dividends on Sidney Brown? You might know more than I do on Sidney Brown, but I would say that if anything, it's been a redshirt year for him. He really hasn't done all that much from what I know, but maybe I got to look into it a little bit more.
He definitely hasn't done much from like a fantasy standpoint, but he is playing slot right now. And how much of that is because of just need? I know Avante Maddox is out for the season. So, I mean, that's kind of why he's slid into that role. But yeah. You are right. I mean, I do like Reed Blankenship quite a bit. He's played really well this year. He's like top five in points per game. But he's a good player. Dude had like over 400 tackles in college, made a ton of plays. So, yeah, he is someone that the Eagles found another just, you know, one of these guys that that came out of nowhere. So I like him. Kevin Byard, I'm not really sure what his contract situation is, but yeah, I mean, if it's multiple years, yeah, he's definitely not going anywhere at all. He's one of the best safeties in the league. So yeah, I mean, there's you make a good point. I mean, it seems like he's going to have to stay in this slot corner role, unless something happens to one of these other safeties. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, with safeties, it's just like I don't think you really are expecting too much from these young guys early on. It's just a nice piece to hold and have. Like, we trust what the Eagles do and like kind of the way they draft. Howie Roseman, been one of the best GMs. It's just one of those pieces that's nice to have for down the line. I don't think you're expecting much from Sidney Brown until probably the third or fourth year of his contract, honestly. You know, his rookie deal. So, but still, it's nice to have, nice to hold. You can just IR him if he doesn't work out. Still enough people that are going to be high on him for a few years at least.
I mean, they're not the same player, but I guess in my view, if you're thinking that Sidney Brown's going to be any good, you're hoping that he turns into what, like a, again, they're not even the same composition of player, but like a Kyle Duggar, Alante Taylor, like that's kind of what you're hoping he, right? Because Alante Taylor and Duggar didn't really do much their rookie year. And then as time has went on, they've become more and more integrated in the defense.
Well, I mean, and you do like the fact that he's playing slot right now. I mean, it just shows that he's able to do a lot of different things. I think the hope is he eventually becomes more like a traditional safety and, you know, plays more in the box, more on the defensive line. But I mean, I like the fact that the Eagles are getting him out there, despite the fact they have all this safety talent, you know. It's just experience and reps. I mean, you like to see that for the young guys. Just however we can get him on the field is nice, you know. I don't really care if they're not playing their natural position. It's just nice getting them out there, getting them some NFL reps, you know, just seeing how just the speed of the game and all that stuff, you know. You want experience for these young rookies. So, yeah, you may have to wait for a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, you also may not. He just may be playing slot for a little bit.
And as far as Josh Downs, I kind of feel some Homer vibes as far as, affiliated with the Colts. I like him, but I think he has some talent, but I don't know. Where was Josh? I'd be curious where Josh Downs was drafted. I wouldn't say he was drafted in the second round. Yeah, in their league, maybe he was.
He was like a late second round pick. So yeah, you're right. I mean, homerism for it being on the Colts, you know, for Josh Downs being on the Colts, also for his first name being Josh, I think that helps him as well.
I think with having Downs' value kind of depreciated, not appreciated at this point, though.
You think?
Or you say it stayed the same?
I think it has.
I can't see it appreciated at all. He's been good. I don't think he hasn't been tanked out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. But I think people are excited about Anthony Richardson. They know that he's going to be there tethered to him for the next, 3 years. He's actually wide receiver 30 on keep trade cut. So that's kind of impressive. I mean, that's around guys like George Pickens, Christian Kirk, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans. So, I mean, that's decent company, you know. I mean, that's a decent group to be lumped in with. So, yeah, I like Josh Downs. I think he's looked pretty good this year.
So, going over to our next trade, we've got Ben Ratty. I hope I'm getting that right.
Yeah, Ratty.
Okay, Ben Ratty. He traded a 2025 third, a 2024 fourth, Lucas Van Ness. Hey, look at that. We were just talking about him earlier. First year of his rookie contract, Nick Bonito, which is expiring, which doesn't make much sense. He's still a rookie contract, but nevertheless. And then Tutu Atwell, which is $1 million per year, expires in 2024. In exchange, he gets defenseman Bradley Chubb and linebacker Levante David. Chubb's got $2 million per, expires in 2024. Levante David's $3.5 million expires in 2023. So thoughts there, Adam, on that trade?
Okay, yeah. The reason why Benito is not on his rookie deal is because he actually didn't get drafted in the rookie draft. He made it through the auction, or he made it through to the auction, and then I think he was actually picked up off waivers this season, and then he was not extended. So that's what happened with him. But yeah, okay. So this is an interesting deal. Another one of these contenders trading with a someone rebuilding. So Ben is definitely a contender. He is one of the better teams in the league, probably the best team in the league. Adding someone like Levante David, a guy who was top five in points per game at linebacker this season, is massive for him. And you're not really losing. I mean, we've already been through this Vanessa talk. Benito is whatever. He's fine. Also, like, this league switched to true position, and I've talked about this on the show, but with us switching to true position and changing like all those guys that were labeled as linebackers, defensive ends, you know, like previously like Leonard Floyd types, Joey Bosa, Danielle Hunter, they were linebackers in this league. But we switched her true position, so all those, all that weirdness stopped, and like all those types became defensive ends. So because of doing that, defensive end is now loaded. Like there's tons of good defensive ends. Like the waiver wire is full of defensive ends that are solid. So I mean, guys like Benito, guys like Van Ness, I feel like I'm not going to be as patient for them in leagues like that where you can only start two. And plus, again, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them out there. So it's like my strategy in like those type of leagues now, I just want to get as elite as I can. I want to try and find two elite studs, and that's it. I'm not really concerned with these like these fringe types, these defensive end twos, defensive end threes. Like I don't really value them at all in these leagues anymore. So like in this same league, like for example, like my defensive ends are Jalen Phillips and Hassan Reddick. Like that's the type of duo I want to have, you know? While I do think Van Ness and Benito could both potentially get to that level someday, with these contract leagues, man, I don't know that it's going to happen within the next, you know, 4 years for Van Ness. And then Benito's expiring anyway, so it's like, you know, whatever. But Bradley Chubb also been really good this year, so I mean that's another nice little depth piece to have for Ben. I think he has like Myles Garrett and Will Anderson as his two starting defensive ends. So I mean Bradley Chubb is a nice welcomed addition to that unit. He's been great this season. So yeah, I like it. I mean, what do you think?
Of all the trades that we've talked about tonight, this by far to me is the biggest landslide. The owner who received Bradley Chubb and Levante David, to me, they absolutely smoked this deal. I didn't realize how good Chubb was doing until I just checked. Usually I'm pretty down on Chubb, but he's performing at a really, really high level. Levante David is the model of consistency. So I'm assuming this team is, you know, obviously, like you said, a contender. And you've been talking about them. I love it. I think it gives them the reinforcements that they need to really help put their team over the top. And what they're giving away, I'm not that worried about. The third and the fourth, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. Tutu Atwell, you know, kind of, to me, flash in the pan, hasn't showed really anything his whole career. Who knows about Stafford? You know, it seems like he's injured all the time. I just don't see the longevity there for Tutu. And then you've got Van Ness and Bonita. We talked about Van Ness. I like him as a possible dart throw, but it doesn't mean I think he's going to be, you know, an all-world defensive end. And then Bonito has shown flashes, but I to me, this seems like a slam dunk for Ben receiving those guys. I'd say well done on this one.
Yeah, great job, Ben. Real proud of you.
But then I've got our next trade. We got Bob. Bob is trading Robbie Spillane, it's expiring contract, for a 2024 fourth round pick.
Another great trade. I mean, this is the way to do it, right? You don't want to give an arm and a leg for, you know, one of these top guys. I mean, I think this is probably cheaper than what you could get Levante David for. Now he's a step below him as far as production goes, but Spillane's been really, really good himself. I mean, he's got like three games this season over 20 points. He's top 20 in points per game. I mean, this is a really nice move for someone that's contending. Like Bob is also contending in this league. So, and also good for the guy to cash out and get a 2024 fourth. You know, Spillane was someone that he picked up off the waiver wire. He's rebuilding. He's not just letting Spillane rot on his team, you know, and expire. He's getting something for him. And so I love this trade for both guys here. Another trade where a contender is trading with someone rebuilding. And that's what you got to do. I mean, those are the moves you got to make, because those are really the ones that are there to make, you know? So yeah, this another good trade. That's how we do it, folks.
Yeah, I would say very fair value with this trade. I like it for both parties. If anything, I probably like it more for the fourth rounder pick. I mean, this is Bobby Spillane's best year, right? And this is a very situational situation for him. With Antonio Pierce right now as the interim defensive coordinator, there's no guarantee that he sticks around as the head coach. I don't think he will, honestly. The Raiders are going to just do their thing like they normally do and probably give Jim Harbaugh $100 million. But so to me, it's like Spillane will be gone. Like Spillane's not in a long-term plan. I think he signed a one-year prove-it deal. He's not there for a long time. He's a journeyman. He's going to go somewhere else. He's got to be in the right spot at the right time. He's also expiring. So, seems like a fair value. I think I probably would target other linebackers over Robert Spillane, though, if I had an option. If we're going to look, there's not every team has expiring linebacker contracts, so hard to really know, but I think it was a good value.
Yep. All right, man. I like it. I think you want to talk about maybe some trade targets and some dynasty leagues?
Let's do it. Yeah. So we're going to talk some dynasty trade targets. We're going to hit the linebacker position first, or what's catching your fancy in this moment?
Yeah, we're just going to kind of go through and just list some guys. So let's get going with the linebackers. Some guys that I think you should be targeting in trades right now. Drew Sanders. Josie Jewell is a UFA in 2024. Sanders was the second linebacker drafted in the 2023 NFL draft. He could have a pretty nice role next season. So I think most people are pretty hip to that. So, I mean, you're still going to probably have to spend a decent amount to get Drew Sanders. Very similar to like the Troy Anderson situation last year. So I think you'd still probably have to spend up a little bit to get him. I don't think you're going to be getting him for any less than a third. And they may want even more than that. But still, someone that I think we could, once he gets his opportunity, he could be really, really good for IDP and be worth more than a second at some point, So. Another guy I think you should target, Deion Henley. Kenneth Murray is a UFA in 2024. Chargers can get out of Eric Kendricks' contract to save on cap. There's a good chance Henley, who the Chargers drafted 85th overall in 2023, has a significant role next season. Another guy I love that I talk about a decent amount, Willie Gay. He's about to be free from the Kansas City linebacker weirdness. And sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs linebackers, Leo Chenal. So like I mentioned, Willie Gay going to be a UFA. Drew Tranquil is also on just a one-year deal, so it could be the Chenal and Bolton show in 2024. Troy Anderson, I think you could maybe buy the injury dip here. We see what Nate Landman is doing. That could have been Troy, folks. I think that would have been Troy. I think we'd be looking at Troy Anderson as a probably as a top 10 dynasty linebacker had he not got injured. So it's very unfortunate, but hopefully he can come back next year, get that role back. Landman has been playing really good. Caden Ellis is still going to be there. So, I mean, it will be interesting. I think Landman is a exclusive rights free agent. Not really even sure what that means, Steve, but so I don't know how that's going to shake out there. But, I mean, there's a chance that Landman could be there, not be there. If he is there, though, I mean, Troy Anderson definitely has a little bit of risk. I mean, because Landman has played that well this year. Juwan Bentley, another guy I think should be targeting in your dynasty leagues. Underrated. He's going to linger on the NFL till his early 30s and be sneaky productive. Jerome Baker. Another guy that is a UFA in 2024, still just 27 years old, maybe someone that benefits from a new situation. I don't know. Miami's just been a weird spot for linebackers. He's been productive. He's piled up a bunch of sacks there in Miami. So I feel like he's going to get at least a chance somewhere else next season. So he's someone that I think could maybe be much better in a new spot. So those are the linebackers I'm targeting in my dynasty leagues.
Of that group within the linebackers, my favorite of that one is Drew Sanders. Drew Sanders has been a massive disappointment this season. I drafted him. I traded up to go get him. I thought that we were going to see a lot more of him early on, because it's not like Alex Singleton and Josie Jewell are, you know, like the crown jewels of the NFL, you know, NFL linebackers, right? So, but he really has not seen the field, and when he has, he's looked lost. So it's a concern. But what I like about him is he's a converted pass rusher. So he knows how to, you know, kind of just, you know, jet through the middle and cause those pressures. And the reason why I like him so much is because it fits Sean Payton's mold so well with what he did with DeMario Davis when he was in New Orleans. So he is just going to – he just fits the mold of what Payton likes. I guess it wasn't this year. I think next year, like the rationale you gave, I'm hoping he takes off. I think he really could take off. So I like that one, especially because he hasn't shown much. And I've considered even, you know, taking in offers for him just because it's like, you never know. But you just got to be patient if you're a Sanders owner. But that Sanders owners could be impatient, so I do like that.
That's a good call. I love comping him to Mario Davis. That's great. Because, yeah, I mean, he's a type that, you know, probably going to be one of these 100, 120 tackle guys, but maybe he can sprinkle in, you know, 5 to 6 sacks for us. But, yeah, that would be extremely valuable for us in IDP. And maybe we get a chance to see him this year, right? Denver has been good lately, and they are reeling off some wins. So, I mean, maybe we don't get to see a lot of these young guys that we do when these teams start, you know, seeing their season kind of swirl down the toilet. But I was thinking maybe we could see some Drew Sanders towards the end of the year if they were struggling, because Josie Jewell has seen his snaps kind of come back a little bit. Him and Alex Singleton kind of switched their roles. Singleton is now like the 100% of snaps guy, and Jewell's more like the 80 to 85% guy. So it makes me feel like, you know, maybe we could see Drew Sanders potentially, you know, creep in on Josie Jewell, or, you know, they know that Josie Jewell isn't going to be around next year. So, you know, maybe we want to see what we have in Sanders at some point, but I don't know. It probably won't happen until like the last 2 weeks of the season, once they are like officially out of it, but just something to monitor. Love them either way for 2024.
So going over to your safeties, who are some of your dynasty trade targets?
Okay, I like Jordan Battle quite a bit. Bengals can get out of Nick Scott's contract this offseason, who, by the way, has a 36.8 overall PFF grade. Mm-hmm. Battle was drafted 95th overall in the 2023 draft. I think actually he got a decent amount of playing time tonight, Jordan Battle. We'll have to look at those numbers. So that takeover could already be happening. It might be too late. But, yeah, I do like Jordan Battle to eventually join Dax Hill as the other safety full-time. Jordan Howden, New Orleans Saints safety. The Saints can get out of Marcus May's contract this offseason. Howden was their fifth-round pick out of Minnesota. Good athlete. Pretty productive in college. Started immediately at Minnesota. So I like that. But, yeah, I mean, that team is in cap hell and in serious trouble when it comes to cap. So, I mean, they're going to need to probably play some of these fifth-round picks and these depth pieces. So I don't mind him. He's someone that's probably out on your waiver wire right now. Not too many people are hip to him, but we could easily see things changing in New Orleans. And also, I'm not even sure about Honey Badger's contract. They may have an out on Honey Badger's contract. I'm not really sure. So, I mean, it could be Jordan Howden is one of the only safeties in that room, you know, this offseason at some point. Also, like Tony Adams on the Jets, Jordan Whitehead, Chuck Clark, both those guys are free agents. Tony Adams has been pretty impressive this year. So I like him. Jeremy Chinn, another guy that just wasn't a fit with the new DC in Carolina, but I think he could bounce back on a team with a DC that wants him and will use his skill set properly. So Jeremy Chinn was once just a darling for us in IDP, like lived in the top six of dynasty ranks pretty much since he came into the league. And now he's seen the bottom pretty much fall out of his value. But I think that he could be pretty good in a different situation. It was just unfortunate, you know. Just that's how some of this stuff goes, you know. The teams hire coaches that just don't need guys like Jeremy Chinn. But I think he'll land on his feet elsewhere. Last guy on the safety list, Jartavius Martin, 48th overall pick in the 2023 draft for the Commanders. Cam Curl is a UFA. Derek Forrest is a fifth round pick, you know. So not the scariest depth chart. I like Jartavius Martin a good amount. Also someone that's likely out there on your waivers. So
yeah, you know, of this list here, I really like Jeremy Chinn. He's a guy, like you said, the bottom has just fell out. He'll be a free agent, I believe, this offseason. So it'll be very interesting to see where he goes, and that could really resurrect his value because it just wasn't a good fit. He's been injured. I got to say, Adam, I'm a little disappointed you don't have Sidney Brown there. You're talking a big game about Sidney Brown, and I'm not seeing him on this list here. So I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
Steve, I'm just scared of Kevin Byard and Reed Blankenship. I'm just real scared of him.
Yeah, that sounds like good rationale there. One guy that I'm going to add on this list is Jair Brown. I really like Jair Brown. Third round pick out of Penn State, went over to the 49ers, has great ball hawking skills. I thought he would get into the starting lineup sooner rather than he did, and I think he's really been is going to be redshirted this year. Obviously, you've got Hufanga, you know, obviously the darling on one end. The other end is Tayshon Gibson, who's been the veteran journeyman. He's 33 years old. He's a free agent next year. I very much see Jair Brown stepping in as that starting safety. I actually had him ranked as my best safety, as the best safety in the class this past draft cycle here. So I was pretty high on Jair Brown. I know Daniel Jeremiah was as well. I remember listening to him on regards to that, but I think he's a ball hawking safety. I think he's a really good player. So I'd add him to that list if it was me.
Love that call there. Yeah, that's a good one. We've seen a lot of good defensive backs from Penn State lately. So I would love to see that there in San Fran. And also, we haven't really seen like a Hufanga was good, I guess, last year, but we haven't really seen like a safety that's been good for a while and consistently good, you know. So that would be cool to see if that could work out for him. All right, I guess let's hit some of these edge targets and get up out of here. What do you think, Steve?
I like it. What do you got here for the people at home?
Okay, Bryce Huff leads the NFL in pressure rate. He's a UFA in 2024. Player and situation reminds me a ton of Uchenna Nwosu.
Wait a minute, hold on. You told me you don't like Uchenna Nwosu. You were on my podcast a couple weeks back, and you were against Uchenna Nwosu. So did you have a change of heart?
I don't think that was me. I think you're confusing me.
Really? I might be confusing you. Oh, maybe I am. Drats. I was ready for that. I sprung up right at you, but never mind.
Yeah.
I'll hide in the corner now.
Yeah, we can't even cut it because it's live, dude. So, wow. Unbelievable.
Okay, moving on.
I like Uchenna. I like Uchenna. But, Uchenna has seen his value, you know, and even before the injury. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like, he saw his value decrease for sure. He wasn't as good as he was last year, but we kind of expected that. He was a prime sell. But, yes, he for the most part, Bryce Huff does remind me a bit of Uchenna. They're both kind of like similar build. They're both in situations where they're kind of getting limited reps. Not kind of. They definitely are. I mean, they're a part of really talented defensive line. So, I mean, that's going to limit the upside for a guy like Bryce Huff. But, yeah, if Bryce Huff can get himself a situation where he's, you know, playing 60 to 70% of the defensive snaps, oh, my God, I would just love to see it. I think now he's playing like around like 35%. So that's just not enough for us to trust him, you know, in fantasy. So, yeah, he's probably the guy that I'm most excited to see land. Kind of in the same vein, Josh Uche, another guy that just kills it from a pressure standpoint. Really good pressure rate. And that's been basically the case his entire career. It's just he's in New England with Bill Belichick, who likes to, you know, just mix it up on us all the time and never show any type of favoritism to anybody. And so, yeah, Josh Uche has been one of those guys that we've been banging the table for. We want him to get more playing time. I think it's going to have to be him changing teams for us to see that. So excited about Uche. He is a UFA in 2024. So I think we're about to get our opportunity and chance to see what he can do. Tyree Wilson, I think it's a good time to acquire. You're going to see a lot of Tyree Wilson equals the next Clelin Ferrell talk this offseason. I'm not believing it. You know, this is what you signed up for. If you drafted Tyree Wilson, you knew he was recovering from foot surgery. Year one was likely going to be a wash and look a lot like this. It's going to be year two or three before we see Tyree Wilson, I think, play well for us. You're shaking your head. You don't believe.
No, absolutely not. He's a bust. It's over. Okay. I moving on. Here's the thing. When you've got regime change, there can be a serious problem. Mm-hmm. Head coach replaced, general managers replaced, possible complete scheme replaced. When you have that retreads for the picks that were made before, it's all up for grabs. So, you know, Tyree Wilson was not their guy. Whatever, when they step into play, he's just going to be like anybody else trying to compete for a roster spot. He's toast.
All right. Well, maybe don't acquire Tyree Wilson, guys.
Hey, if I have him, I'll give him to you, but I didn't draft him very much, so I don't see that's going to be happening that often.
I feel like you could probably get him. I mean, I don't know. You could probably get him for a fourth now. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if I'm not selling him for a fourth. I mean, I'm not interested in doing that deal, but maybe someone's scared. Maybe someone, you know, listens to your show and is afraid, you know.
You know, I haven't talked about Tyree Wilson really at all year, but I was not a fan of him during the draft process. You know, he's just one of those guys that people can marvel over. It's like, well, look at his size. Look at his frame. Yeah. Look at the potential. It's off the charts, and it doesn't turn into anything. It was Golston, Vernon Golston, round two. That's going way back, though.
That is. That's a throwback right there. This is a TBT. It's a throwback Thursday.
It is. Look at that hashtag.
Is it still Thursday where you are? I don't think it is. It's midnight
now.
No,
it's not, but that's okay.
All right, let's we'll finish up this list quickly. Tuliopitu? I don't know how to say the last name. It's definitely not
Tuipulotu.
Yes. He's been great this year. He's been really good. And I love the situation he's in, you know, getting to learn from Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. I mean, that's about as good as it gets for a rookie. But guy's actually good. We will definitely be able to pronounce his last name very soon as he continues to get better every single week. Yaya Diaby, another guy that's been heating up as of late. He's there in Tampa Bay. He was their third-round pick. Freak athlete. I think he was like a 987 RAS. Like him a lot. I mean, he's you know, that's not a scary depth chart. It's Joe Tryon and Shaq Barrett, who's, I think, over 30 at this point. So, I mean, Yaya Diaby out of Louisville has a real chance to be a significant piece for them next year. Nick Herbig, going to be tough for him to crack the rotation there in Pittsburgh. But he's good, man. I think he's going to be another guy that's, you know, in a great situation, learning from really, really good players. So you love that. But he's good. Like, he's someone that I think once he does get his opportunity, like, he's going to be one of these types that everyone's going to be like, where'd this guy come from? Who is this guy? And it's just the Steelers doing what the Steelers do, man, finding these really good pass rushers out of nowhere, these really good receivers out of nowhere. They know what they're doing when it comes to certain positions. And Nick Herbig is another example of that. Will McDonald, kind of similar to Tyree Wilson, you know, really, really deep rotation, hard to get playing time, hasn't really put himself in a position to get that playing time, but I still like the talent. I still like the upside. I'm buying the dip. Same as Tyree Wilson.
Lucas Van Ness. I'm buying that dip. I'm buying that dip. I'm not buying the other dip, but I'm buying that dip.
What is? Why do you like McDonald versus Tyree?
I was high on McDonald heading in the draft. He has that ability to bend as an edge rusher to get around the edge. And I actually like the idea of, you know, Bryce Huff leaving, Will McDonald stepping right in. I think it's one of those things where McDonald rusher. You look at Jermaine Johnson. Well, you know, he was not good in his rookie year.
Yeah.
It had to take him a year. Now he's stepping into it. He's not all world, but he's doing a lot better. I see a similar thing happening with Will McDonald. They drafted him high. Obviously, they drafted Tyree Wilson high too. But you've got Robert Saleh who's going to be still there. You got Joe Douglas still staying there. There's continuity there. Raiders, there's no continuity at all over there. It's a complete tear off. We got to figure everything out. You know, with the mess that Josh McDaniels and Ziegler left behind.
You got Max Crosby there still. That's enough.
That's a cornerstone.
That's enough, and he's gonna be mentoring. He's gonna be mentoring Tyree Wilson. Steve.
Who else do you have? You have an aging running back and Josh Jacobs that probably be better served to go somewhere else. Remember, he's playing on the franchise tag, so he's a free agent. Who knows if they keep him? They're gonna trade away Davante Adams. Who do they have to work with?
They have no talent. I mean, outside of Max Crosby and Tyree Wilson, those are your two.
No. Take Tyree Wilson out of there. You got Max Crosby. I'm with you on that.
You can't just call Tyree Wilson a bust like 10 games in to his rookie season where he's recovering from a foot surgery. He didn't look comfortable at all the first six games. I think he's been looking much better the last few weeks.
I feel pretty confident about it.
I don't know. We'll see. We got a lot of time to find that out.
We do.
But yeah, that'll be a fun one to track. I mean, right now it does seem like he's trending towards bust, but I'm patient. I'm very patient. That's what having kids will do to you.
Okay, so how many? Let's put this to the test, though. How many shares of Tyree Wilson do you have?
Not a ton. I have. He's in my RSO league. I probably have like 2 shares out of the 17 leagues I'm in.
Okay. So a lower percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I probably have more Will McDonald than I do Tyree Wilson. You know, okay. Will McDonald was someone that I could get like in the fourth round. Tyree Wilson, you're going to have to spend like a third round pick, but.
Well, it's time to start trading for Tyree. You got to eat your own cooking.
I'd be fine with it.
I love my cooking.
I cook good. I cook real good, Steve. Love to have you over for dinner, Steve.
Fair enough. Who else you got over here?
All right. I'm sorry about that, Steve, but I got a little angry at you.
I see that.
Let's finish this list up. Derek Hall. I like Derek Hall. I think he's, you know, another one of these types. AJ Epenesa. I think he's been pretty impressive this year. Pressure rate's also been really good. He's got like a 15% pressure rate right now. I like him. He's going to be UFA, get a chance to go somewhere where he can get more snaps, you know, get away from that rotation there in Buffalo. Odafe Owe, I think he's looked pretty good. I think he had a sack tonight. So I think that gives him like a sack and 4 straight. Maybe I'm wrong there, but he's been really impressive since coming back from injury. You know, one of those guys that has great measurables. He was a late first round pick, and it's taken him, you know, 3-4. I guess this is his third year, but it's taken him a while to really pop. But we're starting to kind of see his potential now. And then Quinton Williams, a guy that I think, you know, he's having a down year compared to what he did last year. A nice buy, I think. If people are frustrated or whatever, I think that's someone that you should go out and try and acquire. I just think it's a down year. I think that he could. I think he's going to finish the year strong, but I mean, he's not one of these like 2 to 3 sack, you know, per season type guys. He's someone that should get you between 6 and 8, and so I'm buying the dip on if there is a dip for Quinton Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Quinton Williams, 12 sacks in 2022, only 1 sack in 2023. But we heard Robert Saleh talk about how sacks are one of the most overrated stats out there because he is having a great pressure. He's causing a lot of hurries. He just isn't getting those sacks. So I kind of doubt that there'd be any sort of dip. If there is, I'm with you. You definitely got to buy on, him for sure.
Yeah, worth finding out, I think. You know, if someone is, you know, someone doesn't subscribe to PFF, you know, isn't one of us, doesn't understand pressures, yeah, send some offers right. out.
That's right. So that was the IDP trade show. Adam, do you have anything else you want to share the listeners and viewers before we wrap this thing up?
I don't think so, man. I think we got it all in. Everyone just stay tuned in to, you know, the podcast and the YouTubes, and be sure to check out the website, theidpshow.com.
If you don't already, go ahead and head over to the YouTube and subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell. Also, go over to the IDP show on your podcast. Make sure to leave a rating. That helps the podcast, as well as go ahead and add it on your podcast stream. But until next time, we'll be here with the IDP Trade Show. It'll be a different guest host, but Adam will be here with you.
That's right. You'll never be back.
Ouch.
Just kidding.
Maybe it's because all my Tyree Wilson hate.
Exactly. And I was aiming for the stars.